The function of freedom is to free someone else.
Hello, loves. Welcome to this month's episode of Our Naked Truths, The Communion. Wherever you are, we invite you to join us. Perhaps pour yourself some tea. We're currently drinking our special ONT blend created to enhance relaxation, meditation, and self-love by our trusted and loved sponsor, Mutulu Botanica. Check out their offerings on their website at www.mutulubotanica.com. Okay, let's go.
I vow to exist without fear, shame, or guilt. Daring to love myself with nothing to prove. You're listening to Our Naked Truths, The Communion. Sharing our stories of self-love and acceptance. So, be still, be present, and let's begin.
So, our May episode features a very exciting guest, an incredible human who I also get to call friend and sister, writer, curator, audio producer, editor-in-chief and founder of Galdem, which is a media empire ran by femmes and non-binary people of colour, but it's for everyone to explore, a.k.a. Bad Gyal, Liv Little.
Hello. I'm gassed off of that intro. I want people to do that every time I walk into a room. I'm like,
love it. What we can do for you, because we love you, is that after this we can record that intro, and then like whenever you're doing like a speaking engagement, you just ask them to play it, and then you just come on doing gum fingers. Sick.
You just hear Joss's voice through the audio. I'm down. Now it's time to gas ourselves up, so you know.
Can you imagine? It's been a year almost to the date to when you did your live Our Naked Truth session.
It's very mad because I feel like it was about 3 years of, I don't know, maybe not 3 years, but some years of conversation before you convinced me to get naked. I was certain that it would never happen. It was always something that I wanted to do. It was just something that I was like terrified to do because of, you know, whatever conditioning or insecurity or fear of judgment or being watched or having people who I know on the gram seeing me. Like, I had all of these like stresses and these worries, even though I'd kind of been in the space so many times and witnessed how healing that space was and how empowering the kind of action of kind of bearing yourself and sharing yourself with like the Our Naked Truths community has been. I think, yeah, it was just in my own feelings. But I think, and I think I'd also recently maybe written about my relationship with like my vulva and stuff. And so I was in a situation where I guess started to like rip the bandaid off a little bit and like bear some of these like traumas and fears that I had. And what a better space to kind of to share that experience with than in the space that you've created, which I think is just incredible. So
that's amazing to hear. It's also nice to hear that at that time, it seems like it was a bit of divine timing. You were already in a place of deep reflection and unearthing and sharing really personal stuff about your own traumas and experiences, which feeds into self-acceptance. And then kind of being and I think also with the theme that you chose, which was speaking your truth whilst unlearning fear. I think at the time, you're doing so much, you still are. You're doing a lot of like speaking engagements and obviously using your platform in order to talk about kind of social political issues, but also issues that pertain to your own experience. And so I think a lot of people misconstrue anyone that has a platform who is willing to share and bear themselves via that platform, that they don't experience fear, they don't experience anxiety, they don't experience doubt. You know, it's that whole myth of like celebrities putting their shit together, and as we know, that's not the case. People are people, humans are humans. And so I feel like there was a bit of like divine, I call it divine intervention, divine blessings, really, where you were kind of at a place in your life where it made sense to do it. I think we're at a space also when people were putting a lot of pressure on people that had platforms and also had just this really convoluted idea of how people navigate fear and who's supposed to experience fear and self-doubt. And also just people in general, because fear is a big thing. Like we did a live session, an online live session the other day, and we still spoke about fear. Fear is something that I think a lot of people, if not all of us, are always trying to navigate in some way, shape or form, navigate, embrace, understand. So it was a really powerful topic that resonated with a lot of people. I'm so grateful for it. I really remember it. There was lots of tears shed, lots of laughter. It was a real soulful afternoon. From your perspective, how was your Our Naked Truth experience? What did it feel like to model and share your body and your story with a group of strangers?
I was terrified, in the run up to it, which I'm sure you know people have those feelings of, oh my gosh, what have I agreed to do? Some people. I was nervous, but. But then, like I say, like I was reminded of, I guess, not necessarily the wholesomeness, but like the kind of the energy and the, like, I don't know, like sense of kind of collective healing that often like happens in that space. I don't know. I just feel like you can't be in a more supportive environment. So once I was there and I was doing it, it felt amazing, and I cried, and I was, you know, it kind of felt like I was shedding, and like I say, it wasn't a case of I did this and suddenly I was just like fixed or like don't have those insecurities, they don't linger. But I think it was an important step to move towards like that journey of overcoming it. So it was like, wow, okay, cool, like there are people that can like resonate with these things and these themes. And it wasn't just like about the body or like the anxiety I had about sharing parts of my body, it was also about that thing of just being open and being like vulnerable. And I think like a year ago I was really going through it. I was really stressed, I was really anxious, I was having panic attacks, I was like all over the place just over a year ago. And that was around the time when we were going like full time. It was overwhelming and it was new and it was amazing and exciting, but it was also like, oh my god, the pressure. And it takes some time to settle into these things. So there was a lot going on. And you know, like, you know, one of the people who is a friend of mine who I've known for so long, but who I also work with was there as well. And my girlfriend was there, and I wasn't necessarily expecting her to be there either. Oh. So it was great. And I felt really supported, but it was amazing. And I think, you know, the thing that was really incredible was of course seeing like the visual representations of yourself, but it was also like the dialogue that followed and the experiences that people shared, and the fact that, I don't know, like I had a space to just be completely just in my feelings.
Well, that was a really amazing, heart expansive testimony. Thank you for that. Thank you also for sharing that process, because it's really important that people firstly understand that whenever anyone is sharing their story, as much as it is quite healing to do so and empowering to do so, you're not going to be fixed from that one process or from that one experience, right? And then secondly, also to allow yourself to be vulnerable, especially when you have a platform and people are used to seeing you doing speaking engagements and being online, to realize actually, because it's very easy for people to kind of disconnect the humanness from people that have platforms, and actually you being able to bear yourself really powerfully and honestly, with a lot of courage around your own fears and the things that you have to navigate, even though like everyone's excited that Galdem had grown and you guys could now go full time, actually there was the other stuff going behind it. Actually, it's really overwhelming, it's a lot of work, it demands quite a lot, that can be emotionally taxing. Thank you again for trusting us with yourself and with your story and your beautiful body. It was so incredible. It's one of my fave sessions. That was, so in terms of like post session, things are unearthed at that session, and you might realize actually we're unearthing new things. Like, it's quite normal actually in sessions where people, even though they may have the questions beforehand, not they're practicing, but you know, get an idea of kind of the things that we're going to ask, but during the session other things might come up for you and someone will share it. And it's like, oh, I didn't even think that was a thing, or I forgot about that. That's not a new one. That's definitely something that I hear often, where we will, in the midst of sharing, we'll realize actually things are being unearthed. And some of those things are things that we've completely forgotten about, because we compartmentalize our trauma and experiences, don't we? The things that we don't really want to talk about or experience, we put in that little box and forget about. We're in a place of feeling held or feeling safe. And having the space and time to share openly with our whole hearts, that some new stuff might unearth. So post-session, after you did that amazing thing and shared yourself with a room full of strangers and some friends, the next day, or even not just the next day, like the days, the weeks, the months afterwards, is there anything that was quite poignant for you that came up post-session?
Do you know what was really like, I think one like reflection that I had in that session, which was around like, I think, I don't know if you asked me to say like something that I like liked about myself, but I think I spoke about like doing everything with like integrity and like from a place of love. And I think something that I've been navigating, and I think I still am navigating, is around like boundaries and like internalizing things that you possibly and probably and definitely shouldn't do, and separating yourself from your work. And that's been like an ongoing process, and it's one that I'm enjoying, and one that I think is really important, and one that I know is also benefiting my mental health. And I don't think I necessarily realized that or started to action that straight away. I think because, again, there was like a lot of fear, and it's fear of being disliked or saying things that people won't like, or and all of this kind of stuff, or upsetting, you know. So, but I think as time goes on, and also with everything that's happening here, and now today, I think I'm feeling more. That was a really kind of critical lesson for me. And something that I'm still navigating, and that I'm like having a bit more time and space to think about things rather than just like reacting. I bet it's okay to give yourself a little bit of time to process the layers behind something, you know, and decide what it is that you can and can't deal with, or you won't, will and won't put up with. And I think that's powerful, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's very, very, very powerful and very poignant. I'm finding that a lot of people, especially now, because of where we're at with quarantine and the need to communicate, the demand of communicating, demand or sometimes even obligations of checking in with people that some people might feel, it's really hard to navigate boundaries. I think boundaries are a thing for people in general anyway, but especially now, some people are not coping very well with quarantine. And so therefore there's maybe an additional reliance on loved ones or close people to support them. But we have to remember also we're all human, and quarantine is bringing up a lot of stuff for a lot of people. And so if you're not able to pour into yourself, you can't then allow someone else to sip from your chalice. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And it shouldn't be seen as selfish to set boundaries. And I think, yeah, I love my work. I love my life. I have so many friends and like, it's amazing, but I do know that that is something that I maybe have a tendency to have done, like to the degree that it's not healthy or helpful for me and my mental well-being.
In terms of the theme, speaking your truth whilst unlearning fear, do you think it still applies?
Yeah. I think, you know, we're living in a time when there is so much access to information and we can connect, and there are so many benefits to living in a digital age. But there also can sometimes be a lack of space for dialogue. What we do with Galdem is try to provide a platform and a space for conversation and dialogue, and like a space where people feel like, you know, these topics are covered in an accessible way that people can engage with. And I think that's, it's really important that we hold space for nuanced discussions. And like I say, you know, having a platform, and there is so much good to social media, but there can also be so much just prevention of growth, and everyone's scared or that they'll say the wrong thing, or can I even say anything? Like, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's good, and it's good, and it's complicated as well.
It's super complicated, but that's a really good point, that actually it is important to still make sure that we're holding space for each other to speak our truths, process things collectively, to come up with solutions, strategies collectively, but do that without fear. And also know that, yeah, it's okay that someone's experience may conflict with yours, or someone's opinion may conflict with yours. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you, yeah, that they're a bad person that can never redeem themselves, you know. And that's kind of the sadness about cancel culture, because you're right, it doesn't leave room for growth, because if anything, a lot of our learning comes from making mistakes. You don't always learn it and learn something and get it right first time.
Yeah. And there's, and like I said, there's like, there are degrees to it, isn't there? Because some stuff is just, you know, absolutely fucking not. There's no way that's like, that can pass, and we're going to sit down and say, oh girl, but mate, but you know, no, but like, but yeah, but, and I think, you know, there's a legitimacy in holding things to account. It's just how and when and why. And I think, yeah, let's uplift and communicate and not shit on, and you know, like, still any form of conversation and growth. Because honestly, like, the power that I've seen and that I've witnessed and that I've been a part of in the last 5 years, when we like are able to come together and like uplift each other, is just absolutely magic, and also so needed if we're gonna fight like this patriarchal, capitalist, racist like framework that we're living in. Like, we need that, we need more of that.
So another question, if I may: when do you feel the most accepting of yourself?
I think probably there are like different moments. I think when I like give myself the space and time to just do things that are, and not selfishly, but like for me, and that nourish my soul in a way that's like nothing to do with work or like other people or anything. It's just purely about me, like whatever that looks like. I think, like, not, I don't know, this is a conversation again that has been had, where people are feeling now like they have to fill all of their like free time with stuff. And like, just, I was talking to one of my like best friends at the start of this week, and she was like, oh, you know, she's kind of like been furloughed and stuff, and she spent a day kind of in bed. She was like, oh, you know, I had really productive days, and every day I've been doing this, and I felt quite guilty that I just had no energy and had to stay in bed one day. And I was like, listen, on Saturday I was so exhausted, and I stayed in bed and I played Sims, and like I did nothing else. My eyes probably turned square, but that's also fine. It's like, you shouldn't be shaming yourself or feeling guilty for the moments when you like don't have the capacity for it. I think it's important to be accepting of yourself in that way, and like listen to what it is that your body is telling you. Unfortunately, of course, there are moments and times and days when things need to happen that, you know, you still have to get done, just as is the nature of business and whatever. But I think it's important, like, to find some sort of balance, you know, because it can't always be one way, and like, and productivity like looks different now as well. And I think you have to be understanding that that might be slower, that might be like working in a different way, that might be lots of different things.
I like that. Being it's almost like accepting the ebb and flow of life. And when stillness presents itself, or you just are depleted and you have nothing, that's actually okay.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful part of acceptance, because we're in a culture and society where we're so focused on busyness and productivity.
Fam, and like having a side hustle. You don't have to have a side hustle if you don't want one, you know.
Babes, like, I remember like going to New York with my partner, that was about 4 years ago now. Mm. 4 years ago, going to New York. And that wave had started to hit UK, that culture of, oh, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a blogger, I'm a writer, I also run a PR company, I'm a photographer, and I also direct movies. Like that having the kind of the slashes the slashes of things to do, like all type. And I remember being like, oh wow, people know, like, the entrepreneurialism out here is amazing. And then slowly moving to London, but I found like in the past 4 years, which is great, that more people of colour are really dipping into or exploring entrepreneurialism in a different way. The internet has really helped with that. You don't need to go to a marketing company to put a marketing strategy together. You can get a social media account and, you know, like learn and see what other people are doing and then be able to put stuff out yourself. There's so many different ways of tapping into entrepreneurialism, which I really love. And I think it's great and it's enabled a lot of people to do bits. But what that's also meant is that you need to be seeing that the whole culture of New York, of which I love at the same time, but not always as healthy. And also their whole society is very different. But seeing that shift happening over in the UK and seeing how in the midst of all of this wonderful entrepreneurialism that was happening, that there people needed to be busy. You needed to be seen doing things. You wanted to share more of what you were doing via social media to let everyone know you're doing things. When that was happening, then seeing the rise of anxiety, the rise of depression, the rise of our mental wellness also being impacted. And yes, there are other issues around that, society's dysfunctionality as a whole, and the way that we are governed. But I do find that there is definitely a link between this increase of productivity and demand to be seen and doing things and demand to be going out to all the parties and all the events, but still like go to the gym 5 days a week and eat really healthy, be vegan, all of these things. And it's hard for people to navigate. It's really hard for people to manage, and it's really impacting our wellness. And actually, it is okay to do nothing. It is okay.
Mad.
Right? It's okay to play Sims all day. It doesn't mean that you're a waste man.
Like a lot of people are still having to work. So it's like, yeah, you've got maybe an extra hour or two of commute time, but maybe you don't want to use that to like get up extra early to do something. Maybe you do. Maybe you're going to find your groove. Maybe that's just what you needed, but maybe you're not. But either is okay.
Absolutely. Love that. Love that. Either is okay.
Yeah.
Don't have to do. If you do have the time to do it,
or sometimes
fantastic.
It's okay. Like, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. It's not every day. Like, it's okay to sit down. Because you're right. I remember this as soon as lockdown happening and everyone saying, well, now you can do this and now you can do that and now you can clear your house and now you can do this. But you're right. A lot of people, we've never had anything like this happen before. When none of us were born during the war times, you know, like we've not experienced the world like this in millennial times. And it's really important to understand that it takes time to navigate, it takes time to understand, it takes time to find a flow. It takes time to realize actually we can just check the news once a day for decent updates. You don't need to be on it all day figuring out what we're going to do and how we're going to navigate life. It takes time to also be in your space. Like there's people now that have full-time jobs and had families and now all of you are at home. Like, and you're also having to do your job, look after your children, homeschool your children.
I can't even imagine.
It's not easy. And we can't then be saying to them, well, after quarantine, you know, you should have learned French and you should have, you know, like went down a dress size because now there's all these free workouts popping up. We just have to understand actually just being able to get through the day is an achievement in itself. And it's okay because we're not operating in normal times. This month's gentle reminder is an offering from Toni Morrison's Beloved. The function of freedom is to free someone else. With that gentle reminder, I ask you to think about A, how you're practicing self-compassion and doing things to free yourself. Whether that things that fear you, things that will explore your highest potential, but also think of what your acts of service are, what your acts of service to your community are, to your loved ones. What are they? And if you can't think of what they are, sit and think, spend some time on doing that. In this time, during this pandemic, it's very important that we're focusing on self-care. A lot of us are probably changing our priorities. A lot of us are maybe even changing vocation. A lot of us are struggling financially. Some of us are just trying to figure out each day. A a lot of us may have a burst of energy to create something new, which is fantastic, and trying to see how they can sustain this momentum and to build community around it. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us are unwell. And so in that space, it's very important to be thinking about ways that we can take care of ourselves. That's a priority. A second priority should also be what my acts of service are. What can I do to service my community or my loved ones? It's about being aware and being consistently aware that in order to achieve our highest purpose, we have to understand that we must also serve others through the fulfilling of our highest potential. So in that, we have some ONT tips for that gentle reminder. Sit down and think about trying something new or something that fears you. Write a list of all the things you want to do but haven't been able to do due to fear. Get curious about what fears you. Sit with that emotion and do something each day to face them. As you do that, create a list of your gifts, all the gifts that you've been given, and think about how you can use or anchor any of those gifts to offer a service to your community. It may be baking a cake for your next door neighbor because you're aware that they're lonely. It may be creating a time for that friend that wanted to speak or share space, but you didn't have much time. Make that Zoom call, but prioritize your health first, not everyday Zoom calls. It might mean creating a new project, something that you know the community needs that you've wanted to do for a while, but never had the time or space to offer that. It may be hosting a Zoom party for your friends around the full moon to celebrate yourselves for getting through this moon cycle during the pandemic. Whatever it is, be bold enough to remind yourself that no change behavior creates the same outcomes. Be bold enough to remind yourself that in order for us to heal collectively, we all need to offer an act of service. So what, in terms of navigating, accepting the ebb and flow of life, especially during quarantine times, what would you say have been your integral quarantine self-care tools?
Sims 4, that's quite a good one. I'm trying to like get back into like moving my body more. I haven't been like religious with it. So like I didn't do any exercise yesterday, but the day before I did stuff that proper hurt my abs, which apparently like exercises, it's like Sahela was telling me, you know, that means it's working. But yeah. But I was like, I'm taking a break for 2 days because I hurt. but like I had a week when I did do yoga every day in the morning and I felt really great for it, but I didn't necessarily keep it up. But the other thing that was really nice was that we found like a nice, like not too busy spot for like a walk. Gaming, writing, like I spent the whole weekend doing bits of writing here and there, and that really makes me feel good because it's something that I wanted to do for myself. You know, the things that work for me won't necessarily work for everyone and vice versa.
What was your first lesson in self-love?
Do you know what? Like, I probably didn't really understand, even though, like, I had really good examples of people who, like, give back to self. Like, my mum has practiced Buddhism for, like, 3 decades now and, like, is really, really disciplined with her practice. And she reminded me, actually, yesterday, she was like, you lot, you kids think that, you know, me and Mon, her twin sister, are, like, these people that have just got their shit together and, like, it's all fine and we don't get stressed and whatever. She's like, we absolutely do, but we have a really, really strict and rigorous practice, you know. My mum chants for just, like, hours every day and she practices twice a day and she's, like, lecturing and she knows her stuff and, like, texts and everything. And she was like, if we didn't have this practice, we wouldn't be able to support like our family in the way that we do. Like she was like, it is really difficult. And I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, true. Like, yeah, you know, my auntie's working for the NHS and she's also got like, my cousin's just had a bit like, just she just delivered their first baby and they're all in the house. Like, it, and there are things that are going on, but like the kind of like strength and the resolve, yes, like is amazing. And that comes with discipline. I think for me, and I, and to be honest, my mum said that like before she had like this practice, she was like really depressed and had a lot of stuff going on. And that was like 30 years ago. And she's lost a spouse. She's lost, like, you know, my stepdad passed away 2 years ago. So there's really been a lot, and it's hard, and she's still grieving, right? But I think it's so incredible and inspiring, and like such a great kind of example that I'm really grateful to have in those two. But with me, and my mum always says this thing, and I said this in my note to self, which she always says, it's about like prevention. It's not about like just doing it when things are really shit. And I think that's the thing that I'm getting better at not, but I think my first lessons of self-care probably really came when I was like reached extreme burnout and realized that, like, yeah, cool, you know how people say, oh, you're young, you're in your 20s, like you can do it now, you can like kill yourself now, but actually nah, like I can't, and I'm also not trying to. And so I think it probably took like reaching extreme burnout and collapse, and me and Charlie did a TED talk on this, like rushing women of color syndrome, looking at our experiences, because there was a point when I had migraines and my hair was falling out, and Charlie had like really bad RSI and like a twitch in her eye, and we were like working full-time jobs and also managing Galdon, which is also a full-time job. It's properly intense, like, I mean, people don't think it is, but it is really an intense job. It probably purely looks cute on the gram, but honey, it's a lot. Yeah, running a business is a lot, and having you know, people who you're responsible for, like, is it's important, and you have to do it well. So yeah, I think I'm rambling, but basically what I was trying to say was that, yeah, it probably was a couple of years ago when I was like not well, and I think maybe around the time that I met Sahela, which is, it's been like, we've been together for just over 3 years.
Congrats.
Thank you. 3 years in March. But and she and I was having these chronic migraines, which I've now finally got some medication for. I had like an MRI recently, but she was like, wait, so you're telling me like you've just had this headache for like, because I'd get them for like maybe 3 weeks at a time. It could be a month, it could be whatever, but they were like crippling. But I kind of just got used to the pain. And she was like, you know, that's not normal. And I think that's probably when I started to be like, oh yeah, that's not normal. And so that was probably my first lesson in don't wait so long. Don't wait for things to get so bad.
I think that's an important lesson, which leads us quite nicely to this.
So my note to self, my note of self-care would be to remember that prevention is better than cure, and that it's important to listen to what it is that your body is telling you. I think checking in with yourself is really important, especially now with everything that's happening in the world and the heightened anxiety and stress. It's important to be gentle with yourself, with myself. So yeah. Listening to what it is that my body is telling me, sometimes screaming at me, to be aware of.
That was beautiful and quite a poignant love note, to be honest. I think a lot of people can identify and receive that. So why did you think about that particular statement for your love note?
I think it was like, I probably learned it in very harsh and like extreme circumstances, and like, I've been told it, like, it, my mum said it. She said, you know, it's so important to have a spiritual practice or have something to like anchor you, because to navigate this here planet and life, which is confusing and stressful and unpredictable, right? And I think this is a time when depression, anxiety, fear are all things that are naturally going to be heightened for all of us, right? Because we're kind of collectively going through a form of trauma. So for me, I think right now during lockdown, it's something which is really important to remember, that prevention is better than cure, and part of that, as I said, is about being kind to yourself and not judging yourself. And I think it's easy to judge, you know, when you feel like there are responsibilities or things that you have to have answers for, and like you have to be happy and resilient and on top of it. But actually, this is not something that we've experienced before, so that's going to be difficult. And so, yeah, I think that's why I thought it was an important one to kind of reflect on.
Very important, very poignant, and actually very nourishing. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
For this month's ONT Loves, it's only fitting and right to honour the majestical, the incredible, and one of literature's important writers, as well as for Black literature, our beloved Toni Morrison. Toni Morrison's original name was Chloe Anthony Wofford, and she's a Piscean queen, with her sun rising on February the 18th, 1931, and setting on August the 5th, 2019, as she was laid to rest in the Bronx, New York. Ah, what a woman. She consistently wrote about her examination of the Black experience, particularly that of Black females. And Toni Morrison is the first African-American woman to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. And boy, did this woman spend her career nourishing us with her words. She is best known for her novels focusing on intimate relationships, especially between men and women. Some of her best-known works are The Bluest Eye, Sula, Song of Solomon, Beloved, and the non-fiction volumes Playing in the Dark, Whiteness in the Literary Imagination, and What Moves at the Margin. She wrote numerous children's books with her son, empowering young Black children through literature. The central theme of her work was the Black American experience, but focusing on an unjust society where her characters struggled to find themselves and their cultural identity. Her use of fantasy, her serpentine-esque poetic style, and her rich interweaving of mythical and social commentary gave her stories great strength and texture. A biopic of her life and her impact was made in 2019. It's called Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, and it's a film that is a must-watch, so I implore you to watch them all. If some of you have heard of Toni Morrison, know her work, but haven't had time to create space to actually learn about her work, read her books, please do. She has left an incredible legacy for us to enjoy and continue this learning. And we're so grateful to her. We're so grateful to you, Toni Morrison. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for your heart. Thank you. Rest in sweet, eternal peace.